When we notice a change in the language, we often wonder, is this a good thing? Linguist Jeff Nunberg has some thoughts on one of the current trends that is giving us lots of new coinages, turning nouns into verbs.
I don't think we should wordsmith this in public. That was the response of Joseph Camerota at the time, one of Paula Jones' attorneys, when somebody asked him about the possibility of a settlement on Meet the Press a couple of months ago. It's the sort of usage that language critics love to jump on. Nothing raises the ire of the correcting classes so readily as these shifts from nouns to verbs. Even the comic strip's Calvin got in his two cents. As he put it, verbing weirds language. Actually, though, it isn't that easy to say why the noun-to-verb business gets such a bad rap. The psychologist Steven Pinker estimated that fully 20% of English verbs began their lives as nouns. You can face the enemy, nose around the office, mouth the lyric, shoulder the burden, elbow your way in, finger the culprit, knuckle under, toe the line. You can milk the cow, in which case you remove some liquid, or milk the veal, in which case you add it. And it's true, the language adds new coinages like these every day, with most of them passing unnoticed. The verb to telephone was introduced just 4 years after Alexander Graham Bell patented his new invention. And since then, it's been joined by the verbs radio, FedEx, fax, keyboard, and dozens of others, with nobody raising an eyebrow. And you have to admit, the process can give rise to some new and colorful coinages. Not long ago, I was reading a novel by Bruce Olds, where he talked about blood rooster-tailing from a wound. It was a pretty graphic effect, and one you could never achieve in a language like French or Italian, which doesn't permit this sort of syntactic switch-hitting. But not all of the new coinages have that macabre charm. When you listen to corporate managers, you could be put in mind of a language like Eskimo, where words can migrate freely from one part of speech to another. We have a team partnering with IBM that's tasked with architecting the new standards. They've been officing across the street, but they conference down the hall. But it'd be wrong to single out corporations as the lone perpetrators here. As for academics, I did a search of a humanities and social science database and found more than 4,000 citations of the new use of the verb privilege, as in realism privileges interiority. The psychologists have been talking a lot lately about journaling, a process a lot like keeping a diary, only with a spiritual dimension that's absent in old-style diarists like Boswell or Gide. And it's the Baptist Pentecostals and the like who have managed to make a verb out of the noun fellowship, as in, I fellowship at the Assembly of God on Winchester Avenue. Actually, I saw a news story a while ago about a woman who was disfellowshipped from a Texas Church of Christ after her husband divorced her. The question is, what makes these usages fishy when nobody troubles over most other shifts of nouns to verbs? I often hear people say that the new verbs don't add anything to the language, but I suspect the problem is that they do. The presupposition that any activity worth mentioning ought to have a verb of its own. And even though the pattern's been around for a long time, there does seem to be something in this urge to verb that's a genuine novelty on the linguistic scene. You hear it not just in corporate or academic jargon, but in everyday speech. The night before Diana's funeral, I heard a guy on the BBC talking about crowds of people vigiling outside Buckingham Palace. The Book of the Month Club features a book called Classy Knitting, A Beginner's Guide to Creative Sweatering. An NYU psychologist gives the following advice for home redecoration. Don't think about the bedroom, a static concept. Instead, think of bedrooming. It occurs to you that people have been knitting sweaters for a couple of thousand years now and doing whatever they do in bedrooms for longer than that, but they've never before felt the need to turn those nouns into verbs to denote those activities. But maybe it's no less than our active lifestyles deserve. That's what modern life feels like, is just one damn thing after another. Breakfasting, carpooling, officing, keyboarding, stairmastering, journaling, bedrooming. Why shouldn't we wordsmith new ways to talk about it?
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.